This is Evenouth Port Traffic Control, GSV Temporary Section. One moment, Small Bay 27492. So the speakers set in Hawser and Wobslin's seat headrests. Hawser turned to Wobslin, switching off the communicator send button.
This thing is ready to fly, isn't it?
What?
Fly?
Wobslin looked perplexed. He scratched his chest, looked down at the drone still working to stuff the wires back under the console.
I suppose so, but... Great.
Hawser started switching everything on, motors included. He noticed the bank of screens carrying information about the bow laser flickering on, along with everything else. At least Craiglin had had that repaired.
Fly,
Wobslin repeated. He scratched his chest again and turned toward Hawser.
Did you say fly? Yes, we're leaving.
Hawser's hands flicked over the buttons and sensor switches, adjusting the systems of the waking ship as though he really had been doing it for years.
We'll need a tug,
Wobslin said. Hawser knew the engineer was right. The cat's anti-gravity was only strong enough to produce an internal field. The warp units would blow so close to, in fact inside, a mass as great as the end's, and you couldn't reasonably use the fusion motors in an enclosed space.
We'll get one. I'll tell them it's an emergency. I'll say we've got a bomb aboard or something.
Hawser watched the main screen come on, filling the previously blank bulkhead in front of him and Wobslin with a view of the rear of the small bay. Wobslin got his own monitor screen to display a complicated plan which Hawser eventually identified as a map of their level of the GSV's vast interior. He only glanced at it at first, then ignored the view on the main screen and looked more carefully at the plan, and finally put a hollow of the GSV's whole internal layout onto the main screen, quickly memorizing all he could.
What?
Wobslin paused, belched again, rubbed his belly through his tunic and said,
What about Hawser?
We'll pick him up later, Hawser said, still studying the layout of the GSV. I made other arrangements in case I couldn't meet him when I said.
Hawser punched the transmit button again.
Traffic control, this is Small Bay 27492. I need emergency clearance. Repeat, I need emergency clearance and a tug straight away. I have a malfunctioning fusion generator I can't close down. Repeat, nuclear fusion generator breakdown, going critical.
What?
A small voice screeched. Something banged into Hawser's knee, and the drone working under the console wobbled quickly into view, festooned with cables like a streamer-draped partygoer.
What did you say?
Shut up and get off the ship now,
Hawser told it, turning up the gain on the receiver circuits. A hissing noise filled the bridge.
With pleasure,
the drone said, and shook itself to get rid of the cables looped around its casing.
As usual, I'm the last to be told what's going on, but I know I don't want to stick around this,
it was muttering, when the hangar lights went out. At first, Hawser thought the screen had blown, but he slid the wavelength control up and a dim outline of the bay reappeared, showing its appearance on infrared.
Oh-ho, said the drone, turning first to the screen, then looking back at Hawser. You lot did pay your rent, didn't you?
Dead, Wobslin announced. The drone got rid of the last of its cables. Hawser looked sharply at the engineer.
What?
Wobslin pointed at the transceiver controls in front of him.
Dead.
Somebody's cut us off from traffic control. A shudder ran through the ship. A light blinked, indicating that the main hold lift had just slammed up automatically. A draft briefly stirred the air in the flight deck, then died. More lights started flashing on the console.
Shit, Hawser said. Now what?
Well, goodbye, chaps,
the drone said hurriedly. It shot past them, sucked the door open, and whooshed down the corridor, heading for the hangar stairwell.
Pressure drop,
Wobslin said to himself, scratching his head for a change and knotting his brows as he looked at the screens in front of him.
Craiglin!
Yalcin's voice shouted from the seat headrest speakers. A light on the console showed that she was calling from the hangar.
What? Hawser snapped.
What the hell's going on?
Yalcin shouted.
We were nearly crushed. The air is going from the small bay, and the hangar lift just emergencied on us. What's happening?
I'll explain, Hawser said.
His mouth was dry, and he felt as though there was a lump of ice in his guts.
Is Ms. Gravant still with you?
Of course she's still fucking with me.
Right. Come back up to the mess room right away, both of you.
Craiglin,
Yalcin began. Then another voice cut in, starting from a distance, but quickly coming closer to the mic.
Closed? Closed? Why is this lift door closed? What is going on this vessel? Hello, bridge, captain?
A sharp tap-tap noise came from the headrest speakers, and the synthesized voice went on.
Why am I being obstructed? Let me off the ship, get out of the way, you idiot,
Yalcin said, then, it's that goddamn drone again.
You and Gravant, get up here, Hawser repeated. Now.
Hawser closed down the hangar comm circuit. He wheeled out of the seat and patted Wobbsley on the shoulder.
Strap in. Get us ready to roll. Everything.
Then he swung through the open door. Avager was in the corridor, coming from the mess to the bridge. He opened his mouth to speak, but Hawser squeezed quickly past him.
Not now, Avager.
He put his right glove to the lock on the armoury door. It clicked open. Hawser looked inside.
I was only going to ask, what the hell's going on?
Hawser completed the old man's sentence for him as he lifted the biggest neural stun pistol he could see, slammed the armoury doors shut, and paced quickly down the corridor, through the mess room where Dorilo was sitting asleep in a chair, and into the corridor through the accommodation section. He switched the gun on, turned its power control to maximum, then held it behind his back. The drone appeared first, flying up the steps and darting along the corridor at eye level.
Captain, I really must put...
Hawser kicked a door open, caught the beveled front of the drone as it came toward him, and threw the machine into the cabin. He slammed the door shut. Voices were coming up the steps from the hangar. He held onto the handle of the cabin door. It was pulled hard, then thumped.
This is outrageous!
A distant tinny voice wailed.
Cricklin,
Yalson said, as her head appeared at the top of the steps. Hawser smiled, readying the gun he held behind his back. The door resounded again, shaking his hand.
Let me out!
Cricklin, what is going on? Yalson said, coming along the corridor. Belveda was almost up the stairs, carrying a large kit bag over her shoulder.
I'm going to lose my temper!
The door shook again. A whine, high and urgent, came from behind Yalson, from Belveda's kit bag, then a static-like crackle. Yalson didn't hear the high-pitched whine, which was an alarm. Hawser, though, was distantly aware of Dorilo staring somewhere behind him in the messroom. At the burst of static, which was a highly compressed message or signal of some sort, Yalson started to turn back to Belveda. At the same moment, Hawser leapt forward, taking his hand off the cabin door handle and bringing the heavy stun gun round to bear on Belveda. The culture woman was already dropping the kit bag, one hand flashing, so fast even Hawser could hardly follow the movement, down to her side. Hawser threw himself into the space between Yalson and the corridor bulkhead, knocking the woman mercenary to one side. At the same time, with a big stun gun pointing straight at Belveda's face, he pulled the trigger. The weapon hummed in his hand as he continued forward, dropping. He tried to keep the gun pointing at Belveda's head all the way down. He hit the deck just before the sagging culture agent did. Yalson was still staggering back after being thumped against the far bulkhead. Hawser lay on the deck, watching Belveda's feet and legs for a second, then he quickly scrambled up, saw Belveda move groggily, her red-haired head scraping on the deck's surface, her dark eyes opening briefly. He pulled the stun gun trigger again, keeping it depressed and pointing the gun at the woman's head. She shook spastically for a second, saliva drooling from one corner of her mouth, then went limp. The red bandana rolled off her head.
Are you crazy?
Yalson screamed. Hawser turned to her.
Her name isn't Gravant. It's Peristek Belveda, and she's an agent in the culture's special circumstances section. That's their euphemism for military intelligence, in case you didn't know, he said.
Yalson was backed up almost to the messroom entrance, her eyes full of fear, her hands clutching at the surface of the bulkhead on either side of her. Hawser went up to her. She shrank from him, and he sensed her getting ready to strike out. He stopped short of her, turned the stun gun round, and handed it to her, grip first.
If you don't believe me, we'll probably all end up dead, he said,
edging the gun forward toward her hands. She took it eventually.
I'm serious, he told her. Search her for weapons. Then get her into the mess and strap her into a seat. Tie her hands down tight, and her legs. Then strap in yourself. We're leaving. I'll explain later.
He started to go past her, then he turned and looked into her eyes.
Oh, and keep stunning her every now and again, on maximum power. Special circumstances are very tough.
He turned and went toward the messroom. He heard the stun gun click.
Cricklin,
Yalson said. He stopped and turned round again. She was pointing the gun straight at him, holding it in both hands and level with his eyes. Hawser sighed and shook his head.
Don't, he said.
What about Hawser?
He's safe, I swear it. But he'll be dead if we don't get out of here now, and if she wakes up.
He nodded past Yalson at the long, inert form of Belveda. He turned again, then walked into the mess, the back of his head and the nape of his neck tingling with anticipation. Nothing happened. Dorilo looked up from the table and said,
What was that noise?
As Hawser went past.
What noise? Hawser said as he went through to the bridge.